Welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Hard to believe it's already the third hour now upon us. It's Saturday evening, July 9th, and I'm coming to you from downtown Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380 WLRM radio studios, and going out also to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News radio network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Got to thank Richard Spencer now for his contributions to tonight's program and for all the information he gave us about the NPI conference, the National Policy Institute conference. You know the dates by now. I'm going to tell you one more time. Friday, September 9th through Sunday, September the 11th in Washington, D.C. Get all the information at npiconferences.com. I hope to see you there. Joining me now in the studio, co-hosting for me, you know, he has been picking up the slack since Bill Rowland and Winston Smith have been sidelined due to some health issues. Of course, Bill Rowland did manage to come in and help me interview Hutton Gibson last week, which was a great show. But picking up the slack in their stead, longtime political cesspool co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie, you've been in about 2 months straight now, buddy. You've really been punching the clock, picking up for our comrades.
Yes, I have. Hope I could do a little bit of good in helping out the old cesspool, because it sure is satisfying to come in here, James. You know, rode my bicycle over here today. I guess I'm trying to do my part. I'm not leaving a big carbon footprint. Yeah, you like, I really believe in that crap. But hey, it is good exercise. It was a nice day, kind of hot out there, but I enjoyed riding over here. And I'm really looking forward to being on the air tonight, James.
You know, the first thing Eddie said, Keith Alexander and I spent about 15 minutes talking about it way back at the very top of the show tonight. The first thing Eddie said when he walked into the station tonight, when he came into our studio, was, "What happened in here?" Eddie, tell them what you saw.
Well, for one thing, I could get in here, you know, without having to have a pry bar to open the door. You know, the garbage was out, the beer bottles, the wine bottles, everything were out. My old coffee cup, you know, been rinsed out. James even cleaned the scum out of my old coffee pot. Kind of the taste is different. I guess it's good for you. But there's some of the finest photographs on the wall in here, man. I'm looking at a marriage license right now when Danny and James got married. There's all kinds of photos from their wedding and when they went on the cruise. And one of my favorite is a poster up here, the Jersey Boys. Matter of fact, I was in the New York City. I was there on Broadway when the play Jersey Boys was playing. And I knew James was a big Four Seasons fan. And so I went in there and I got the boy a T-shirt and I think a hat and this poster. And James probably freaked out, but these people invited me to come see the play. And I said, "Well, I really don't have the money right now." I made an excuse. I really didn't want to see the play because I'm not that kind of guy. And they said, "Well, we're going to let you go free." And I still didn't do it. If James had been there, he would have loved to go in there. But I got him this stuff. And that's one of my favorite things. Hey, we've got photos of signatures of Ray Stevens, Gary Puckett, you know, just on and on and on. Of course, it's the Four Seasons. I've got their signatures all on their autographs, all in their photos. It's just a really clean place. We got Pat Buchanan up here on the wall with old James. He looked like he's about 13 years old when he shaking his hand. He looks like he weighed about 122 pounds. How long ago was that, James?
That was in the year 2000 when I was working with Pat. Yeah, we got it broken down. We got my personal wall. We got four walls in our studio, as I guess every room does. Got my personal wall, got my music wall, and then I got my political wall with all my friends and some of the, guests of extra special note. And then, of course, you know, all the co-hosts have their little publicity shot up on the wall, too. So we're not leaving out Eddie, Keith, Bill, and Winston. But I tell you, you know, and Eddie, by the way, for all of our friends at the FCC, he was just joking about the beer and wine bottle crack. But everything else was dead accurate. And I tell you, it does look good around here. It does look good. And You know, like I said, we're going to have to do a little video in here. You know, show them what the studio looks like now that it's presentable. You know, you got five guys that are doing a show. Okay. You know, we had our man cave, but, you know, every now and then you got to clean up. Even we clean up, and it's clean now, and hopefully it'll be clean for a while longer. Got to get back to work. Now, speaking of New York, Eddie has been to New York. That's where he got me that that poster that's adorning our walls here at the studio. New York. He was walking around Times Square with his David Duke for U.S. Senate T-shirt on. And I guess in a normal setting, something like that would elicit some sort of comments, you know, good or bad. But in New York, you know, anything goes. Eddie, I got to ask you, I got a good article here at thepoliticalcesspool.org that kind of gives you a taste of what multiculturalism is like. And these two examples come from New York. So we got two videos here. It's called Riding, the title of the blog entry is Riding on a New York City Bus or Subway is an Experience You May Never Forget. The first video shows a busload of passengers who, you know, they're in New York, so apparently it looks as though they just left the United Nations. You got just a rainbow coalition of ethnic groups on this bus.
I've been there. I've done that.
As the scene begins, you got a black man cursing at an Oriental lady, then a white thug attempts to be chivalrous by employing a limited and foul vocabulary as chaos ensues. The only thing missing was an identifiable homosexual trying to add his or her two cents. You got to see this video. This is one episode of the manifestation, the joys of diversity, Eddie. Diversity is our greatest strength after all. So we got a couple of videos of diversity in action. The second video comes from a subway train. What you have here is a black woman who is bathing herself in front of everyone on the train. Again, you know, I hesitated to show you this, and I didn't post it on our website to be sensational, but these are the realities of daily life in a multicultural environment. Just ask the citizens of El Paso, Texas, where they have illegal aliens that are just using their back alleys and in public thoroughfares, their streets, as toilets. Well, that's what this minority was doing in the middle of a crowded passenger train, literally bathing herself. Now, we can show you this video because the first part of this video only involves partial nudity, and nothing full frontal or anything like that, but you know, you can see her undressing and taking a bath, soap, you know, rag and all. You know, as America becomes more diverse, scenes like this will become more common. So you better go ahead and get used to it, and we get you acclimated at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Another manifestation of diversity comes from Washington, D.C., another area that's rich with multiculturalism. A 5-year-old shot a 4-year-old as they were playing on the playground. A 5-year-old shot a 4-year-old with a gun, and I'm pro-gun all the way. I think everybody should have them. We wouldn't have any crime. But I'm just saying, you know, you got two black kids playing on the playground, and they're getting an early start. 5-year-old and 4-year-old shooting each other out. Neither of them died, miraculously. But, so listen, folks, it's all up here. Diversity is our greatest strength, and we prove it for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. We got a lot more coming your way tonight. A lot more coming your way this hour. Stay tuned. James and Eddie back in a flash.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
During that last commercial break, Bombardier Eddie and I got the advantage of watching some of those videos that we were just telling you about in the previous segment. So, good stuff there, Eddie thoroughly enjoyed them. As a co-host of the show, I'm surprised you didn't, you know, see them the day I posted them, but nevertheless, folks, it's never too late. Visit thepoliticalcesspool.org and check it out for yourself. Another manifestation of diversity being our greatest strength comes from Dallas. Last year, I told you about this guy. His name is John Wiley Price, and he is a black county commissioner in Dallas, Texas. Now, he was the black guy that went nuts when one of his colleagues suggested that the local traffic ticket collections department operated like a black hole, which is, of course, a theoretical science term. Well, he thought that the term black hole was racist, and he got into a big, ta-ta-ta with this guy. He said, why don't we call it a white hole? You know, he couldn't really wrap his mind around the concept of, you know, black hole. He probably had, you know, never been to a science class or anything like that, and it made big news. So we discovered that even, you know, black holes are racist to black elected officials. A couple of months after that incident, Commissioner Price got violent, profane, and abusive at another meeting, and he started accosting some of the white constituents that showed up there. Now, we have video of him exploding at this county commission meeting. You're not going to have trouble picking out who Commissioner John Wally Price is. He's going to be the one with cornrows in his hair. And you can check out his neckwear. Nothing goes quite with cornrows like a bow tie. But if you watch this video, you're going to see African-style governing in action. You see him, he doesn't like what some of his white county commissioners are saying, so he gets up, he starts pounding the table, he starts yelling at them, shouting everyone down. And you just got to watch this video. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and it's the video entitled White-Hating Black Hole Dallas Politician Raided by FBI. Yes, I haven't even gotten to that part yet, but if you watch this video, it's always amusing to watch civilized white people pretend that an overgrown child like John Wiley Price is on the same level as them. Because, as I said, nothing really screams equality like the combination of cornrows and a bow tie. But, of course, they have to pretend that he deserves that seat or else they're going to get called racist. But, of course, they're going to get called racist anyway because they're white. But we got another example of Commissioner Price in action. We got two examples of him in action. Well, finally, it looks as though his shenanigans are going to be coming to an end. He was raided by the FBI last week for all sorts of corruption charges. What did he do? Theft, bribery concerning programs that were receiving federal dollars. He was evading his taxes, fraud and false statements, structuring transactions to evade reporting requirements, money laundering, and conspiracy. So anyway, folks, go and watch these videos while you can, because, you know, he might not be around any for too much longer to add to the series. But this is, you know, these are the people that America deserves, Bombardier Eddie, because these are the people that we continue to elect. And here in Memphis, there are no shortage of John Wiley Prices.
You know, James, we were watching this video, watching Mr. Price right here, the honorable Mr. Price. I happen to think, as you know, I've been all over the world. I've been a good many states, United States. I've been to the South. I've been to the North. I've been to New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut. You know what? And I don't care where you go. A black is still a black. Well, my daughter and I were talking about that. And the behavior, James, whether you're on a subway, and I've been on the subways, and luckily I hadn't had any bad experiences. But the blacks on the subway pretty much act like the blacks in the city council. If they don't get their way, they start screaming and throwing tantrums like a four-year-old would. They seem incapable of, you know, any civilized dialogue. Everything is racist. They want to use, you know, force. They one of their favorite tactics is to try to intimidate you. And they seem to think that whoever can scream and holler the loudest is the one who wins an argument. You know, they don't use rational thinking, things like that. But I noticed when we were up there on the subway, no matter where you went, the blacks were always panhandling. They were, matter of fact, some of them asked me and my daughter. They were put on this kind of a musical acrobatic show in the street, and they were wanting payment. And they said they would accept coupons for cheeseburgers. They would accept food stamps or cash, and so we just ignored them. But yeah, my point is, like we've always said on the cesspool here, you just can't have a first world nation with a third world population. That's what we got here.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, stereotypes exist because, by and large, the generalization hits home. Obviously, you know, not everybody is like that. And then, you know, there are contributing members of that race, just as they are whites who get out of line. But by and large, you know, what we need, they're not all like the Cosby family. And what we need is for the real life Cosby families, if they exist. And frankly, I haven't met one, but surely they do. We need them to really speak up and try to corral these people like John Riley Price or whatever his name was. This, though, is the kind of behavior that their community is fostering. And until the you know, mythological Bill Cosbys get out in the front and say, listen, you know, you're making fools of us. The reason why you know, we're being frowned upon is because of our actions, by and large. You know, take accountability. You know, that's what they need to do. I guess that's just me on my soapbox. But let's go to another call and then more news. Jeff in Massachusetts. Jeff, you're on the line. Are you still with me, Jeff?
No, as far as Black heroes is concerned, James David Manning from New York. That man is a hero. That man put Obama on trial and went for the jugular. Look him up online. The man's a hero.
Oh, are you talking about Reverend Manning?
Yes.
Yeah, you see, absolutely. Now, that's a guy, you know, I don't know him. But there's a guy that we have some common, you know, points with, and when we do find those people, you know, they should be supported on those issues.
Oh, yes. Let me go on. Now, as far as multiculturalism is concerned, this is where it's going to end up at. The blacks, the Hispanics, and Muslims will be directed by the communists that have already infiltrated this country, and they're going to be used as the foot soldiers to chop the heads of white people off. You're going to have racial civil war in this country. Think of L.A. riots back in 1992 expanded throughout the country, where you're going to have racial warfare every single day of the week. Bombings every single day of the week. Terrorist bombings, military on the streets. That's where this car is heading towards. James, I thank you for having me on the broadcast. Have a good one.
Hey, thank you, Jeff, from Massachusetts. How about that, Eddie? You know, you will find political cesspool fans everywhere. If we've got fans in Massachusetts, they have got to be anywhere and everywhere. And we know that from hosting this show for so long, the letters, the emails. And I want to thank once again Jeff from Massachusetts for calling up tonight and making some very good observations. All the way up in Massachusetts, Pappy.
I'll tell you what, we do have fans everywhere. Matter of fact, was that Jeff Levinsky by any chance? We have a friend in Jeff in Massachusetts by the name of Jeff Levinsky. I believe is the way he pronounces his name. I've spoken with him time to time, and he's a nice fellow. Sees eye to eye with us on the issues. But I'd like to back up and reinforce something James said a minute ago. Yeah, well, you know what? We do have some great people that are blacks. As a matter of fact, I saw one today, and I was given a
right, commercial break. Snuck up on me. I'm not trying to stop you from making a complimentary point, but stay tuned, everybody. We'll let Eddie make it right after these words.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. If it's the last thing we ever do. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller in studio. With you as we wrap up things this evening. I know, Eddie, before we go into another topic, you wanted to weigh in on some of the things you heard brought up during my discussion with Richard Spencer in the previous hour, specifically make some points on the Republican strategy, such as it is.
Yeah. You know, James, you and I, and I'm sure everybody out there, you've heard that, and you've also voiced the opinion that even though you don't like the Republican candidate, you want to vote for the lesser of the two evils. And I heard that comment even when we had Pastor Charles Baldwin, Chuck, we like to call him, when he ran for president of the United States on the constitutional ticket. And here we have a Southern Baptist minister running on the constitutional ticket as a president of the United States. And when I informed my fellow Baptists that of that situation, they said they couldn't vote for him because they didn't think he could win. And so they intended to vote for the Republican candidate, who was the lesser of the two evils. And I'd like to point out, as most of you people, I'm sure you know, what has changed? I'm 64 years old. And since I've been politically aware, and I was politically aware starting when I was about 12 years old, when I got jumped for the first time at Southside Park in South Memphis. And but nothing has really changed. It doesn't matter which party we have in office. You know, we've had back in when Clinton first came to office, we had a slam dunk. We had a solid lead pipe majority of Congress, total Republicans. And what they do? They did nothing. They had the so-called contract with America, and they didn't. They didn't do anything. They folded, and Clinton played them like a violin. But you see, these people, these Republicans, the Democrats, they don't really care about Americans, James. All they care about is doing what their puppet masters command them to do. They know that if they don't do what the Rockefellers, the Prince Bernards of England, you know, the Queen Elizabeth. If they know that they don't do what the Rockefellers, you know, the Bilderbergers tell them to do, the people that control the news, the newspapers, the TV, the banks, the money, they will get no advertising, they will get no money, and they will be put out of office because the people that control all the money will see to it that they do get put out. And so, what we have to do, a voting booth bloodbath, so to speak. We need to vote against Republicans every time. Vote against them to teach them that they can't just keep taking their white base for granted. That's the only way this is ever going to change. And, you know, I heard, my brother Keith made a comment in the first hour. I was listening to the cesspool. He talked about, you know, liberals here in America. Well, by and large, you know, the liberals and Jews are pretty much one and the same. Any Jew will tell you that liberalism is Judaism. And these liberalism is just what it is. It's a mechanism. It's an attack mechanism to attack white Gentiles in America. It's a way to destroy white Gentiles. As Keith pointed out, if you go to Israel, you will see these so-called liberals. They do not practice liberalism in their countries, in Israel. They have the tightest security in the world. They had the toughest border security in the world. They carry guns on the street. Even teenagers can carry fully automatic weapons. You know, a Christian can't get married there. They have a strict immigration policy. They have the strongest apartheid state that the world has ever seen. It's all it is. It's just a mechanism to destroy white Gentiles. I'll repeat that again. And I wanted to get that across. And another comment I'd like to make is, you know, people might think that we hate blacks, but we certainly don't. I talked to a black today who gave me a gift where my daughter works. I have black friends. I've worked with them on the job. I respect them. They respect me. I was the first supervisor in history at a small hospital where I worked to get a birthday gift. It was, you know, the mostly, well, 90% black workforce there as far as nurses' aides. And I've always gotten along with them. But at the end of the day, even though I respect them and they respect me, I want to be with my own people just as they want to be with their own people. And with that said, I'd just like to put out a little tidbit. If everything goes right, next week I'm going to give you a little thing what we may have on if everything goes right. We're going to have a guy named Lee Cochran who's going to call in. He's doing a research project right now on the TSA and how they're coming out into the streets. They've already announced that.
What about that 95-year-old woman that got patted down?
Oh, yeah. We had a 95-year-old woman coming through an airport, diapers, dying of cancer, stage 4 cancer, and these Transportation Security Agency goons, these, you know, sweaty, obese, 70 IQ morons that the government has working for them in the airports that are supposed to be keeping us secure. They're keeping us so safe from the terrorists, you know. Well, they take this 95-year-old woman and they force her daughter to remove her diaper. And even though it's, you know, she has no control over her bowels. And to search her down, to pat her down, to make sure she's not harboring any weapons, to make sure she's not a terrorist. Well, these same goons that are in the airports doing that, they've already made the announcement that they're going to start coming out into the streets, into a street near you, folks. They're going to start policing the malls. They're going to start doing spot, just random pat-downs at malls, at high school proms, on street, bus stations, train stations. They're going to start going down the street, and if they see you on the street, they're going to stop people and force them to hand over ID. They're going to do pat-down searches there. And how do I know they're going to do it? Because they've already said they're going to do it, and because it's already happened. I have a friend who went to a wedding, a high school graduation over in Arkansas, and she turned around and left because they were doing personal, invasive, under-the-clothing pat-downs of people going into a high school graduation in Arkansas. Well, Lee Cochran is very knowledgeable about this situation. He's in the Oath Keepers. He's in the Campaign for Liberty. He's in the Tea Party. He's in almost everything you can think of, a lot more so than I am. He's very knowledgeable of these situations. He had a confrontation with the police last week on the 4th of July. Him and two other gentlemen, James, they were doing a little citizen's approach. The most patriotic thing you can do is to do something against the government when the government is being intrusive and acting like a communist thug, like a Stasi thug right out of the Soviet Union in the 1930s. Well, they were protesting the Federal Reserve and the intrusion of the banks and the border breakdown at quite a corner of street here in Memphis of Park and Highland. And that, listen, this is three guys holding up signs, just cardboard signs, and handing out lamp leaflets to people that stopped at the stop sign, at the stoplights. The city sent eight squad cars to accost them. The police completely shut down a major intersection here in Memphis at Park and Highland near Memphis State University. Now they call it University of Memphis, but when I graduated, it was Memphis State. And I'm going to let Lee Cochran tell you all about that, and he's going to relate this to how it applies to the TSA. What Lee and his two fellow citizens took their 4th of July holiday off, spent their own time when they could have been with family. They went out doing their patriotic, what they felt was their patriotic duty to alert people to the police state we have coming in here against us. And he's doing a lot more research. He's going to bring a lot more information than I've just given you. But that's a little teaser for what we're going to do next week. Lord willing, and James doesn't have somebody else coming in, we don't get bumped. But, in live radio, people, you never really know. You don't know from minute to minute what's going to happen because, if we get a big guest in here, somebody, say, for instance, like Pat Buchanan, who's been on the cesspool before, if he calls in and wants to come on, naturally, and to serve the people that we serve, in the interest of the people mainly, we'll have to let Pat Buchanan, somebody, come on like that. And Lee will totally understand that. But that's one thing we're going to be doing next week. And, we're always talking about liberals and conservatives here. This liberalism I just got through talking about, it's the modern day, what we call liberalism, is nothing but a club, an international Zionist club used to beat the life of white Gentile America. In the past, liberals actually did some good. For instance, if it wasn't for what we call liberals, 7,500 years ago, we wouldn't have our child labor laws. We would have coal mines that were unsafe to go into. My ancestor worked, worked in the coal mines in eastern Kentucky. We wouldn't have. There's so many things that liberals get accused of that they really hadn't done. But what I'm saying is liberalism has been given a bad name, kind of like evangelical Christianity has been given a bad name. But for the recent sellout by the people like the Southern Baptist Commission, giving in on amnesty, complete amnesty for the. So, folks, we got a break coming up right now, and we're getting ready to turn this microphone back over to James Edwards, folks. And I really enjoyed talking to you. Here you go, James.
Eddie Bombardier Miller holding court here on the Political Cesspool Radio program and spending all of his time telling you what we're going to talk about next week. But we still got a segment left tonight, and we still got more coming this week. Stay tuned, everybody. We're going to wrap the show up right after this. We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do.
place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the political cesspool radio program. Final segment now upon us, and I have located for you the only man in the world. He's actually sitting right next to me. His name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. The only man in the world who did not know who Casey Anthony is. You know, I tell you, that trial, the media circus surrounding that trial was so incredible that it even sucked me in. And for the past couple of weeks, I haven't been able to stop watching it. It really isn't our standard fare here at the political cesspool, but, you know, because it was the top and is the top news story in the country and has been for so many months, I was curious to hear what you thought of the case and the verdict. Of course, Casey Anthony found not guilty of dosing her 2-year-old with chloroform, suffocating her with duct tape, and throwing her into a swamp. Found not guilty. I asked for your thoughts, and many of you shared your thoughts with me at thepoliticalcesspool.org under the blog entry titled Casey Anthony Not Guilty. I have conflicting feelings on the case. There's almost no doubt that she did, in fact, do it. On the other hand, though, because her daughter's body was so badly decomposed before it was found so many weeks after it was originally thrown away and it had been mangled by wild animals and everything else, there was no DNA evidence, no evidence except for circumstantial evidence. And when you're talking about murder one, they have to prove that beyond a doubt. They did not have a smoking gun, no witnesses, no pictures, no video. Our judicial system is supposed to protect defendants from lynch mob justice. And in this case, I think they did their job. They all know that Casey did it, but they couldn't prove it. And so they acquitted her. I don't know. It's a very, very intriguing case. And no one's more strongly in favor of the death penalty than I am. In fact, the only problem with the death penalty is that it's not used enough. But this is just such an incredible story for so many ways. In so many ways, I do agree with one of the commenters on the blog there. He writes that Casey Anthony may be despicable, but she was tried for murder, not for being an irresponsible parent. The jury was instructed on murder and manslaughter, yet the prosecution could not prove time or method of death. Goes on to say that the elites in the media are just angry because their authority was defied. You know, everybody was banging the gongs for Casey's blood in this, and perhaps it's deservingly so, but even I got a little guilty pleasure from seeing all of these sanctimonious, self-righteous media talking heads like Nancy Grace and Dr. Drew, on and on and on, all of them, just so sure that she was going to get convicted and then just, have to wallow in it. And even though I myself would have liked to have seen justice in this case, I think justice was done by the legal system. Even if the verdict was a little askew, I'd have to admit, I loved seeing all of these people who always come after us here on the show, loved seeing them with a mouthful of crow feathers. Got Peter Scoop Stanton on the line, political cesspools correspondent. Eddie, you want to say hello to Scoop real quick?
Yes, sir. Hey there, Scoop. Long time no here. I wish I could have. We've only got one set of headphones going tonight. Our lap budget. You know how huge our budget is. But I wish I could hear you, Scoop. I would love to see you. Maybe the next time you come into town, maybe we keep old James sober enough. We can go do some more karaoke, old fella.
Yeah, but I gotta start rolling some pennies if I want to fly out to Memphis again.
How's it going, Scoop? Good to have you tonight, my friend.
Great to be on again.
Well, what do you got for us? Scoop emails me all kinds of stuff. Actually, Scoop contributed that video of the New York City bus. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, as you know, James, as the moderator of the website and the the blog where people make comments. First order of business is to one fellow who calls himself, first off, Miss Holly. What I want to do is an over-the-telephone intervention. My message to Miss Holly is that I'm sorry that your life has ended the way it has. Your mother, unsure who your absent father might be, she went to the Maury Show, but the producers did not have the budget to fly in literally dozens of men. Holly, your mother was doing well as a dancer at Jiggles Gentlemen's Club. Your mother's C-section scar is highly noticeable. Your mother should also be commended for dancing when she was 6 months pregnant with you. But I'm sorry, when your mother was working, your so-called uncle dad touched you in a place where no child should be touched. I also extend my condolences to your mother when the laboratory processing crystal methamphetamine exploded. I also know, Holly, that this has traumatized you so much that you let boys have their way with you in the bathroom. And it's also too bad you were fired from your position at the Lighthouse Project for the mentally disabled due to your incompetence. I know how hard it is to put two light bulbs in a package that only holds two light bulbs. But I wish you continued success as a fluffer in the adult film industry. My father always said, find something you like and you'll be successful at it. All your hardships made you angry. For an outlet, you go on a website that white people go on who are upset at the state of our nation. Hardworking people who pay lots of tax to the government for federal programs such as welfare, Medicaid, Section 8, see that these programs don't work and that things in poor neighborhoods are still the same while still being called racist and being told they need to pay more taxes. Holly, please seek help. Luckily, there are plenty of mental health professionals around this once great nation who can help you. Posting incendiary comments on a website is not helping you. You need help. The staff of the Political Cesspool pray for you. God bless you and good luck.
You know, this is just an example of some of the tasteful exchanges that we have on our blog from time to time. But, yeah, Scoop is commenting on one of our I guess they couldn't be considered a fan, one of our detractors. And, you know, hey, you know, they come on there and we support the freedom of speech. So we let them, you know, hurl all sorts of incendiaries our way. And then the Political Cesspool Legion of Fans, they get on and defend us. And every now and then the keyboard commandos, you know, get a leave, you know, get a furlough long enough for some intelligent debate to take place at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But I tell you, every day is an adventure on that website, right, Scoop?
Yes, it is. And it's not that I don't want people to just post, you know, you're right, James, you're great. But if people have an argument or a point to make and saying you're wrong because of this, we'll bring it. If you want, if someone wants to say, Scoop, you are 100% wrong and this is why, that's fine. But just to put something up saying, oh, you're just saying this because you're racist, you're just an idiot. And, you know, Miss Holly, I think you're just a plant in some organization like the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, or one of these other alphabet hate groups. You're waiting for somebody to say the wrong word, type in the wrong word, so you can post on your website saying, Political Festival fan says this. But guess what? It's not going to happen because, one, our fans are not like that. Two, we're smarter than that. So, Ms. Holly, if you want to keep, you know, being a troll, so be it. But my speech will be posted the next time Ms. Holly posts.
Peter Scoop Stanton has called into the radio program tonight and has given an anonymous person that no one knows fame. Scoop, you know, Holly's probably going to be, you know, talking about this on the blog next week. But anyway, listen, the Bombardier wants to make another comment to you. His headphones are... out of commission right now, but we'll do like ham radio, and I'll relay.
Well, Scoop, I got to tell you, son, you know, you're an old sailor. They say once a sailor, always a sailor. Well, I went to a place about 5 weeks ago. I was up in the Northeast with my daughter and my son-in-law and my granddaughter, and they took me to see the battleship, the United States ship New Jersey, the largest battleship the United States has ever built. I wish I could hear you, but we took a board of that, and the whole time I was there, I thought of our buddy old Scoop, because I knew he was a sailor. This battleship was commanded by none other than General Bull Halsey, Chester Halsey. He was, I think, one of the only two to three They might have had two. I think they had two five-star, maybe three five-star admirals in the Navy in World War II. The only five-star generals, I believe, were Douglas MacArthur, General Dwight Eisenhower. But anyway, you would have loved to go on the New Jersey. I wish you could have gone in there. It was great. But if you get over there anytime soon, Scoop, you need to take that tour, fella. I'm going to have to let you go. James about to have a fit with you.
Yeah, we're running out of time. I had to turn Eddie's mic off. We're out of time. Yeah, you know, the Navy is definitely represented here in the political cesspool. Scoop served in the Navy, as did co-host Winston Smith and producer Art Frith. So, Scoop, you got 5 seconds. Final word.
President Obama turned a race to Mars into a race to the unemployment line. There's untold amount of everyday items that we buy that, you know, thank you.
That was a lot longer than 5 seconds. They're going to cut me off here. Scoop, we're going to get it worked out, man. Call us back next week. We'll give you more time. Always good to hear from you. On behalf of the entire crew, I'm James Edwards. Good night and God bless you, folks. We'll see you next Saturday.